see. So much to do. Walking up and down my street. How are you? And what do you do? Making friends with the people I meet.
Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. Today, I have Connor Inslee with Outdoors for All as a guest. Connor, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, if you could let our listeners know what your role is at Outdoors for All and how you got started there.
Sure. Yeah, I am the Associate Executive Director with the Outdoors for All Foundation. What that means is I oversee all operations and programming. So our all of our winter programs, summer programs, fleet of vehicles, facilities, and just generally everything that happens programmatically in the organization.
All right. So a lot of roles within Outdoors for All. Could you give our listeners an overview of Outdoors for All and maybe a brief history of the organization?
You bet. Outdoors for All has been around since 1979. First called Ski for All. We always meet people on the streets up at the ski hill. We tell them what we do and they say, oh, that's like Ski for All. We are Ski for All. We are the Outdoors for All Foundation. The name changed when we started doing more activities. So again, we started in 1979 as an adaptive ski school up at Snoqualmie Pass for individuals with disabilities. We have now grown. We reach throughout Washington State, and we provide adaptive recreation in the outdoors from skiing, cycling, canoeing, kayaking, rock climbing, day camps, pretty much you name it. We're out and doing it. We're based here at Magnuson Park.
Well, for anyone who has listened to previous episodes of this show, they would know that I have a degree in recreation. And a couple of the classes I took for that degree had to do with adaptive recreation. So from those classes, from my degree, my major in recreation, and just from personal experience, I know how valuable outdoor experiences are and how beneficial they can be for mental health and just for general well-being. So looking at, you know, the Outdoors for All website and all of the activities and programs you put on, some incredible work that your organization does. And with those programs, I know there are a lot. You said you've kind of gone from skiing as the focus, and now there are just a lot of programs going on. Can you highlight some of the more popular or well-known programs at the organization?
Yeah, I can also highlight the less popular ones so they become popular. For example, today we have our day camps running. It's spring break for the school system. We strive to offer programming when school is out. So we don't always get the Christmas and the holiday break because of the kind of the complications of covering all that. But we are able to bring back our spring break programming. So right now we have a group with our summer camp program, our outdoor ed program. They're out in the park. They're riding adaptive cycles around the park today and just exploring. I would say our most popular programs are probably partnership programs. We have over 100 community partners throughout the state, and we have really found success in finding community partners that have a group of individuals with disabilities, some without, that we can work with, and we can bring the adaptive recreation to their group. You know, again, over 100 partners that we do that, that's about 60% of the population that we serve in a given year is made up in those partnership programs. I'd say the next biggest chunk is probably our day camps. We offer day camps for youth and adults with disability based here at Magnuson Park and based out of Lake Sammamish State Park on the east side. Those run all summer long when school is out. This year, we were able to bring back our spring break camp. You know, we have campers that sign up for an entire summer of that. They just love it. We see impacts. We get feedback at the end of the year, and we see folks that, you know, we're worried to get on a bike. They didn't feel comfortable. They didn't know if they could. And all of a sudden, end of the season, they're out there riding mile after mile. Really cool program we have here at Magnuson Park is our Adaptive Cycling Center. It's based out of Building 406. That is through partnership with Seattle Department of Transportation. They actually started funding that program 3 years ago to allow it to be free to the public, Memorial Day through Labor Day, open 7 days a week. You can stop by, check out an adaptive cycle, no charge, ride the park. We're just across the street from the Burt Gilman. Hop on the Burt Gilman and ride as far and as long as you want to ride.
Well, that sounds like a really fun opportunity to get on one of those adaptive cycles. We'll definitely have to check that out. Now, you mentioned there are also some programs that are not as well known. What are those programs?
Great question. We refer to those as our individual programs. They're a little bit smaller. You know, we've seen significant growth in them, but they're still smaller as far as a percentage of what we do. We run a kayaking program weeknights during the summer right here at Magnuson Park. That is through a bit of a partnership with Sail Sandpoint, another great community partner here at Magnuson. And we just kayak off the beach at the north end of the park here, go out for the evening, great group of volunteers, allows folks to get out, you know, practice their paddling skills and just get out and enjoy the water. We have a rock climbing program that we typically run up at exit 38, which is off of I-90 up towards Snoqualmie Pass. Great opportunity to do some outdoor rock climbing. It is very accessible. Again, it's just a little bit smaller of a program.
Well, your website mentions working with children and adults with disabilities. What are the age ranges for these programs?
Young to old. So we start about 6 years old. And, you know, our executive director, Ed Bronson, is the chief knowledge officer. He can pull all of these numbers. And I want to say our oldest participant is in their 90s.
Okay.
So we do serve a wide range. And when we say disability, we mean anybody that self-identifies as having a disability. We're not requiring any sort of paperwork or affidavit. You know, even so much as somebody who has had a knee injury and is recovering and unable to ride their standard bike, come in and ride a hand cycle with us for a few days to stay in shape while you're in the recovery process. You know, folks that come in who are aging have concerns about balance, maybe falling down. We can get an adaptive bike that's a 3- or 4-wheeled bike and really reduce the chance of a fall injury and still be out enjoying the ride.
So a variety of outdoor experiences for really just about anyone of any age. You mentioned not having paperwork documenting someone's disability. What does the registration process look like for some of these programs then?
Registration is really quite simple. We have moved to a full online system, which is pretty typical for everyone these days. Just filling out some basic information, sign up for the programs. You know, we are fee-based, so a lot of our programs do have fees. Because of those fees, we want to, you know, reduce economic barriers as best we can. So we do offer up to 90% financial aid for our programs. To give you an example of that, one of our most expensive programs is our ski program. Skiing is inherently an expensive sport. There's lift tickets involved. There's transportation. You know, that program can be upwards of $1,000 for the 7-week series. We are able to offer up to 90% financial aid to that, which really to the user ends up being about $100. So we try to make it as affordable as possible. As far as that process, we also don't require any sort of paperwork or, you know, pay stubs or documentation in application for financial aid. It's simply a needs-based assessment. You know, tell us what you can afford and we'll see what we can do to make it work.
That is great to hear that there is that kind of income-based sort of structure around those fees, especially as you mentioned, like skiing, where it is kind of a higher barrier with the fees to get involved. So that is very great to hear. Since you do programs kind of, you mentioned, all over the state and a variety of outdoor experiences, do you have a outdoor recreation experience or location in Washington State that would be your favorite?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, I guess. It depends on the weather.
Okay.
I've been skiing at Stevens Pass for a long time. It's one of my favorite places. I'd say that in the winter. And then, you know, the San Juan Islands in the summer are pretty hard to beat.
Well, great. Now, you've also mentioned your partnership programs making up kind of a bulk of the programs that you do. For partnerships that are taking place within Magnuson Park, we've had a few guests on our show mention their work with Outdoors for All. What are some of those partnerships within Magnuson Park?
Oh, gosh. So we work with the garden. A couple different activities there in the garden. Sail Sam Point, obviously doing some adaptive sailing and kayaking partnerships and educational programs. Cascade Cycle, that's a big one. For a number of years, we had riders doing the STP ride. We do partner with them in the educational program that is in the school system. So they have a pretty robust system where they are teaching cycling and safe cycling in the public schools. We are a contractor of theirs and partner with them to teach the adaptive side. So any schools they go to that have a student who may require some adaptive cycling, well, we're in there doing that with them.
So some education as well going on in the community. So along with that and kind of outside of those outdoor experiences, the outdoor recreation, are there other services and resources you offer in the community?
We are working on being better integrated in the community to provide a sense of a social atmosphere and community. We did a needs assessment with our stakeholders about 6 years ago. We've updated it since. And one thing that we really heard was a place for community building. And we see that we are here at Magnuson Park. We have our day camps up at Snoqualmie Pass. We have a facility that we did a full renovation of. It's become beautiful. It has windows. It has a real floor. And we've seen this engagement of our volunteers, of our participants, of our donors, you know, using that to build community. They're staying after programs. They're getting there before. They're socializing. And that is really just a benefit to everybody. You know, it's not just about the adaptive recreation and being out on the ski or the bike or the rock climbing. It's the community that's built by being part of that. We are hoping to grow that here in the park. We are going to stay in the park, but we are looking at a significant growth model where we want to open multiple base camps throughout the greater Seattle area and go to these communities where we're currently serving our partnership programs, but set up a base of operations so that there is a hub there that folks can come to, they can hang out, they can socialize, and then we're really integrated in the community because we've seen that be just such a benefit here at the park.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Having kind of that hub for these programs, for organizations to provide those services, really looking forward to seeing that growth from Outdoors for All, especially with all the incredible work you do around Seattle and Washington State. Now, you had spoken about the Snoqualmie Pass and the location here in Magnuson Park. Are there other locations that you currently have, or is this just the two and you're looking to expand from there?
Those are the two right now. Okay. We have a plan that we're working on to add two more in the next 2 to 3 years. So we've started discussions with some other parks, for example, Lake Sammamish, Marymore Park. We're also looking at areas in South King County, North Pierce County, where we want to expand our reach into the South Sound. And the reason we're moving these locations out into communities is we've heard through our feedback survey that transportation is the number one barrier to adaptive recreation. Mm-hmm. So many folks in the adaptive community, in the disabled community, you know, don't have typical car transportation. They're relying on public transportation. They're relying on rides. Even then, adaptive equipment is very large. You know, I can tell you, an adaptive cycle won't fit in the typical car, you know. So what we are determined to do is make this more accessible for these individuals. So we want to put these base camps in communities that are closer to folks, eliminating the long bus ride, the transportation. The goal is, you know, someday we're just down the street and you come down and ride your bike, do a program, do a day camp, go for a kayak. So yeah, we're hoping to add a couple more in the next few years. That is the plan. We haven't identified the exact location yet, but it's in the works.
Again, excited to see that growth, and certainly very important to eliminate those barriers, especially around transportation being one of the bigger ones. For those of you who are just joining us, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Today, I am speaking with Connor Inslee of Outdoors for All. Connor, you mentioned, obviously, Outdoors for All having a presence in Magnuson Park. How long has Outdoors for All been in Magnuson Park, and what do you see as the benefits of being in this area?
Magnuson Park is a great location for us. It really works out perfect. We have been here since 2005, 2006, somewhere right around there. I joined the organization in 2008, so I know it was a little bit before I joined. And we have continued to increase our footprint here at Magnuson Park. We're over in building 406. We have storage in the Mountaineers building, keep our kayaks up with Sail Sam Point, and we utilize the whole park. You know, it's ideal for what we do in so many ways. One, it's community-based. We have a great network of nonprofits here in the park, and I've had, you know, numerous meetings anytime there's a challenge here in the park, getting together with the other nonprofit and community-based organizations to problem solve and talk about things and talk about working together has been great. The park itself, it's been neat to just see it grow and improve year after year. Based on what we do, we have parking, we have adequate programming space, the trails, the play fields, the waterfront, the rock climbing wall that is at the Mountaineers. You know, it really is kind of an amazing place for us where we can do a majority of the programs we offer without leaving the park. And, you know, Seattle's love for traffic is no secret. So being able to do it right here is all pretty amazing. And if it's not in the park, we can cross the street to the Burt Gilman on our bikes and reach a lot of other places.
It definitely sounds like a great location for Outdoors for All, having this outdoor space where it sounds like you run a number of your programs, but also have partnerships with a number of organizations in the area. For folks who want to learn more about Outdoors for All, where should they go? What's the website? What's the social media account?
Yeah. Outdoorsforall.org is our website. You can give us a call, 206-838-6030. If you know you're a phone user, our phone doesn't ring a lot these days. We get a lot more web traffic, I think, like everybody. You can also just stop by and see us over at Building 406. Again, our Adaptive Cycling Center, we're open up end of May for the season, and it's a great introduction to the recreation, to just come in, see the bikes, talk to the staff, learn about what we do. We encourage folks to come out. You know, we've had a lot of participants who aren't sure if they want to do it or if they can do it, coming out and just seeing the programs. We are also volunteer-based. Great opportunity to volunteer with the organization. You know, come down after work and volunteer with a kayak program in the summer when it's beautiful and sunny out. It's a lot of fun.
So outdoorsforall.org is the website to learn more about the organization. For social media on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, what does the social media side look like?
We are on all those.
Okay.
So we're definitely out there. I think it's just Outdoors for All.
All right. Yeah. And then you mentioned stopping in to your location here in Magnuson Park. What are the hours? When should folks try to stop by?
We are typically in between 9 and 4 weekdays. It does vary. We are around on the weekends a lot. You know, you'll see us coming and going. We have programming going 7 days a week, but we might not be in the office. The building is locked a lot of the time. We have set up doorbells. Please hit those doorbells. There's big signs, but come on and just take a tour.
Visit the website, outdoorsforall.org. Stop in 9 to 4 during the weekday. Now, one of the events that I've mentioned on this show that directly benefited Outdoors for All was the Big Taste, which took place last month. What can you tell us about the Big Taste, and how did it go this year?
Big Taste is a great event. It's over here in the hangar. You know, it is put on by the local Rotary Club. So Outdoors for All is one of the beneficiaries. The way that this particular event works is the Rotary puts it on every year, and their members vote for a beneficiary. So we have been the beneficiary for a few years. Our executive director is a member of the Rotary and a big part of the planning process for this event. It's about a $15,000 to $20,000 event for Outdoors for All is what we see as the beneficiary, which is huge for us. You know, that goes a long way in the nonprofit world. Mm-hmm. And not only do we see funds from it, we see our volunteers, we see our stakeholders, we see folks getting introduced to our organization at the event. And it's a great day of coming out and tasting some spirits.
Yeah, definitely a great opportunity to learn more about the organization, to contribute to the work you do. And you also mentioned volunteering. What does volunteer opportunities look like for folks who might be interested in that?
We have a lot of volunteer opportunities. So we are a volunteer-run organization. We have, you know, a full-time staff of about 23 individuals that run the business side of thing and oversee the programs. But all of our ski school is run by volunteer instructors. So the wintertime, we need volunteer instructors. About 400 folks come out and volunteer with us, teach skiing in the winter. Throughout the year, if that's a, you know, it's a bigger commitment. Throughout the year, we have lots of other opportunities with our individual programs. I mentioned earlier coming out, volunteering with a kayak program. Rock climbing program is a great community. And it just lowers your blood pressure. You go up there after a busy day, you're hanging out next to the rock wall in the woods on the I-90 corridor, and folks are just having a good time, and you just go home and you sleep better. So that's a great program. We do, you know, partnerships with businesses. If you want to do a kind of a work day as volunteers come in and help us, we have projects, painting, cleaning up, organizing, supporting our fundraising events, tons of volunteer opportunities.
Check out outdoorsforall.org if you're interested in volunteering. You also mentioned, you know, those financial contributions through the Big Taste. How can folks find out more about contributing financially or maybe in-kind donations, those material donations for some of your programs? What does that look like?
Sure. Again, visit our website at outdoorsforall.org. There's some links there to volunteer and to donate and to contact us. We do a lot of in-kind donations, professional support, just general cash donations, equipment. It's all appreciated.
Is there any sort of equipment or materials or those in-kind donations that are the most needed for your programs?
Not right now. I mentioned we're working on this expansion program to reach new communities and build some base camps. Once we have those defined and in process, we are going to be looking for partners in construction services, moving services, furniture, setup, and everything it takes to get a new location off the ground.
So even more opportunities to contribute to the work that Outdoors for All does as you start to expand throughout Seattle, throughout Washington State. As we're wrapping up here, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the work that Outdoors for All is doing?
I would encourage everybody to go to our website and watch a couple of the videos on our participants and on our programs. Nothing tells a story better than a video and hearing it from a participant themselves. We have some pretty amazing stories out there that really just resonate with the impact that this has for folks. And it's pretty inspirational to watch.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Connor. Really appreciate you taking the time, letting us learn more about Outdoors for All and the incredible work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you will never say my goodbye. can't be measured. I'm gonna count on the news. Out there's a world that calls for the girl, heading out into the unknown, with fear and strangers and all kinds of danger. Please don't say I'm going alone. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? There's a world that was meant for us to see. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? If you will, I will say my mercy. What good is living the life you've been given if all you do is stand in place? I'm on a river that winds on forever. Follow till I get where I'm going. Maybe I'm heading to die, but I'm still gonna try. I guess I'm going alone.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. My guest today was Connor Inslee from Outdoors for All, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to enrich the quality of life for children and adults with disabilities through outdoor recreation. To learn more about Outdoors for All, visit outdoorsforall.org. Some upcoming events happening at Magnuson Park. The Seattle Mineral Market will take place on Saturday, May 20th and Sunday, May 21st at Hangar 30. This event offers over 60 dealers and demonstrators in minerals, fossils, gems, jewelry, mineral art, and more. Check out elementalendeavors.com for more information. Also, the Plain Air Views of Washington Festival and Exhibition begins on Thursday, May 11th at the Magnuson Park Gallery. This exhibition features artists from all over Washington State who have come together to present and celebrate artworks in the plain air style. Check out space@magnuson.org for more information. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about this station, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. And tune into Space 101.1 FM on Thursdays at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Have a wonderful day, and go Mariners! Walking.